This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
We're now coming to a time of scripture reading. And today's reading will be from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Now, as Christians, we believe that the Bible is God's word. It is how he speaks to the world and also how he speaks to us personally as well. So it's a great privilege to be able to hear what God has to say to us today. And we hope that by listening to it and humbling ourselves, we will learn much and also receive life. Let me now invite Sister Faith up for the scripture reading.
Today's passage is taken from 1 John chapter 1. You can follow along on the screen, so if you're using the church Bibles, it's page 1225. 1225. Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sister Faith. Now let me invite Pastor Andrew Ong up for the sermon. Pastor Andrew Ong, please.
Okay, I just want to ask all of us to consider one question today. What do you want out of life? What do you want out of life? I remember seeing someone in the ICU of a hospital, and he was really, really sick. I remember speaking to this man, I think I remember holding his hand, and he said, I would give anything just to live a little bit longer. I would give everything just to live one more year. Unfortunately, he died the week after. Now, I think that's what many of us want, right? We want a long life. And that's why sometimes when you go to a funeral of someone who's like in their late 90s, you think this person has lived a really full life. So we want a long life, but at the same time, we don't want to die alone, neglected, abandoned by ourselves in some lonely flat, living by ourselves or some hospice with no friends and no relatives. So last week, we went to the funeral of Kam Phan's mother, one of our church members, and I was really quite struck by the slideshow of the pictures of her mother as we were sitting there, and picture after picture had her beaming with joy, eating all her different favorite foods, surrounded with her siblings, with her children, with her grandchildren and friends. I think that's what we yearn for and long for, not just a long life, but a life of friendship, family, relationships, a life of joy. Now today in the passage that we looked at, just four verses, God is actually going to give us something much, much more than just long life with relationships and with joy. He far, far, far surpasses that in the coming of Jesus. Now, we're just going to begin by looking at the Bible passage. And the Bible passage begins by saying that which was from the beginning. Now, the writer of this book, 1 John, actually wrote a companion book, I suppose, or another book, the Gospel of John. And he actually says the very same thing. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you notice here, it's from the beginning, in the beginning. And both of those passages or phrases actually looks back to the very, very beginning of the Bible, the very first words of our Bible, in the beginning, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what it's saying is Jesus was there in the beginning, from the beginning. So if you imagine time, space, everything began. And Jesus, what it's saying here, was pre-existent. Before that beginning, He was eternal. He was infinite. In the beginning, He was there. He was there from the beginning. But in this first verse, it goes beyond that to tell us that He is actually the Word of life, it tells us. Again, this mirrors what was said in the very beginning of the other book written by the same author, the writer, the Apostle John, where it talks about the Word as this creative force, the maker of all things. Like all things were created by Jesus, the Word, and nothing that was created has been created without the Word. And again, this looks back to God's creation in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, where God speaks all of creation into being. Now, the whole point of this very beginning of this section is to actually show us that Jesus is the maker and creator of all things, especially of life, life itself, life that we experience, the life that we live today. And so Jesus, in this first verse, is emphasized as massive. He's a massive being. He's a massive entity. He is God in Himself. Now, I want us to not just consider this in our minds or intellectually, but I want us to actually feel what this first verse is saying, that Jesus is infinite and eternal, that Jesus is the Word or the Logos in the original language, the Greek, that speaks creation into being. Because that is how big Jesus really is. So think about the universe, okay? So this is the universe. You know where we are? We are on Earth. We are just one tiny little planet, part of our little solar system, which is having the sun in the middle. Our solar system is part of this much bigger space called a galaxy, right? The Milky Way galaxy. Now, that's a really huge, huge place, right? But not only that, with recent advances, the Hubble, there's this thing called the Hubble telescope. Scientists estimate that they are up to, better get my facts right, 2 trillion galaxies. Now, if what we believe in verse 1 of 1 John is correct, Jesus is this creator of the vastness of all of these galaxies in the universe. Nothing was made without the Word. All was made through this Word, Jesus. But not only that, scientists estimate that the age of our universe is about like 13.8 billion years old. Huh? That's a really long time. Right? But if again, what said about Jesus is true, then Jesus pre-existed. He was infinite and eternal before that. He existed before this 13.8 billion years ago. So Jesus is this massive being. He's God in Himself. And that's why verse 2 is such a contrast to verse 1. Because this massive being, Jesus, appears 2,000 years ago as a baby in this world. Over and over again, in this first and second verse, it tells us that John tells us that he heard Jesus, he saw Jesus with his eyes, he touched Jesus with his hands, Jesus appeared before him. Now, who is the most biggest prominent person who has ever appeared before you that you've met in the flesh? Many years ago, I was walking my dog in Botanical Gardens. And there before me appeared Lee Kuan Yew. Right? I had never met Lee Kuan Yew before. I only watched him on TV. But there he was in his golf buggy. Right? I think this is when he was quite old, with his security entourage. And he appeared before us. And suddenly he stopped and started talking to a few of us. Now, that was really quite a moment for me. Right? I mean, like, that doesn't happen to me every day. But imagine Jesus, the creator of everything, pre-existent, comes into the world and appears before John the Apostle. Now, it tells us John the Apostle wants to testify to us about the coming of Jesus. Now, this word testify tells us that John just doesn't want to tell us about Jesus for, you know, like coffee shop talk, but he wants to testify to the truth about Jesus. This is a legal word. To testify is to give evidence in court, is to give testimony, is to bear witness to the truth about something. John wants to attest to the truth of this massive God, Jesus, coming into a world as a human being. Have any of you been called to be an eyewitness in court before? Many years ago, I was actually called to be an eyewitness in court. My car was, obviously this doesn't happen in Singapore, right? When I was living in Australia, my car got stolen 2 months before my wedding. It was super, super inconvenient, right? So I was actually hoping to get a brand new car based on my insurance. But unfortunately, the police said, "Hey, we found your car. Can you come and look at it?" And when I went to look at it, it was like old. The license plates were changed. It was completely given a different like look. And so the policeman actually said, the detective said, "Okay, we've caught the criminals. This is your car. We need you to appear in court as an eyewitness." They needed me to appear, not my wife, not my friends or my relatives, because it was my car and I drove it that day. I held the wheel in my hand, heard the radio, I parked the car, went to work, and I came back. The car wasn't there. They wanted me to be the eyewitness to attest to the truth that my car was actually stolen by this guy. Now, that's what the Bible is trying to do for us. He's trying to attest and testify to the truth of this astounding fact that Jesus, from the beginning, the Word of Life, appears to us in human form. Now, why? Why does Jesus bother to come into this world that we celebrate Christmas for? There are three things, and we can see these structurally. It says, one, John wants to proclaim to us the eternal life that has come in Jesus. Two, he wants to proclaim to us the fellowship that we may have with the Father and the Son. And three, he wants to write to us these things so that our joy may be complete, or our joy might be full. Now, this is amazing. It's amazing that this massive being wants to come to be a human being in the first place, but it's even more amazing that he wants to share with us the life, the eternal life that is within himself. Do you know how hard it is to have life? Do you know how hard it is that you are alive? Do you know scientists over the centuries have been trying to create life? I was reading somewhere that they kind of like create the conditions that they think are the beginning of the world. They kind of make this soup of all these different chemicals, and you know, they try to strike it with electricity and bathe it in ultraviolet light, but they can't create life. See, we can create artificial intelligence, we can create EVs and even, you know, all sorts of wonderful things, but we cannot create life. In fact, we do a really bad job just sustaining life. All we can do is kind of like slow down death, right? You know, like my father-in-law had cancer. He went to Hong Kong for the latest treatment. I remember he had these drugs sent from America, and each tablet used to cost like $600. So then, like, when you drop on the floor, you better pick it up, right? Because it's like $600. But he only lived like 2 years longer after his diagnosis. See, we do a terrible job in terms of sustaining life, the life that the Word has already given us. But imagine this huge contrast that this God comes into this world to give us eternal life that comes from within Himself. But this life that comes to us is not just eternal life in isolation. It is fellowship eternal life. It is an eternal life not lived in splendid isolation, but life lived in wonderful fellowship with God and Jesus. Now think about that for a moment. Think about, say, yourself coming into someone's family and sharing that family relationship in this family, having the same love that is shared in the family, shared with you. And imagine that you are part of now God's family. How amazing that is, because it's just unheard of. I remember going to when my time in England on sabbatical for a month. I thought that British people were actually really friendly people, because they always say to you, "How are you? Let's have lunch." And then this British person actually said to me, "Actually, they're not really asking how you are, right? And they don't really want to have lunch with you. They just are being polite, right? They don't really want to know your day or have lunch with you." Then I said, "Then how do you know if they really want to have lunch with you, how you really are?" Then they said, "Okay." They'll say, "Let's have lunch. Let's make a date." And then you work out when you have lunch. Or they'll say, "How are you really?" And then share what your life is really about. But God is not interested in the shallow, distant, superficial relationship with us. Can you imagine? Jesus wants us to have fellowship with Him and the Father at that level of love and intimacy and depth. This is the eternal fellowship life that Jesus is offering us when He comes into this world. Now, this is even more difficult than giving us eternal life, I think. See, the obstacle to giving us eternal life is to overcome death. The obstacle to having fellowship with God is to overcome the problem of sin. The barrier that stops us from having fellowship with God is because God is utterly pure and a judge, and we are sinful and bad people. So how can we then have fellowship or this depth of love relationship with God the Father and Jesus the Son? Well, in another passage, which is just in the next chapter, which we haven't read yet, it actually tells us that there is something else why Jesus has come into this world. "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." See, Jesus here is an advocate. An advocate is like a legal associate. He's like the person that intercedes for you between the judge, the intermediary. But Jesus is unique, right? Because He's the lawyer who also offers up Himself as the payment for our wrongs, our sins. He is the perfect, righteous sacrifice who is an atonement. That means He pays or substitutes Himself for all the wrong things we've done. So Jesus, in bringing us into fellowship, this deep, wonderful love relationship with God the Father, actually gives of Himself, gives of His life to pay for our wrongdoings so that we can have this wonderful, deep relationship with God the Father and come into this wonderful love relationship with the Father and with Himself. And that's why it tells us then in this passage that there is such great joy when we can come into this eternal fellowship life with Jesus and the Father. He says there, John the Apostle, that we write this so that our joy, or your joy, may be complete. There may be fullness in joy. Now, this fullness and joy is really the complete joy that you can ever have in life. But it's not just complete joy in life, it's complete joy in eternity. Now, some commentator made this really profound observation of these four verses. It said, look, the passage begins with eternity. He's from the beginning. The middle part is about eternity because He brings eternal life. But that complete joy, that fullness of joy, is for eternity. We receive that complete joy in the eternal life with the Son and the Father. Now, in life, we are always chasing happiness, right? Happiness is something that we try to find and to achieve. We find happiness in getting that promotion or doing well in our exams or getting that house or that car. But the joy here that is being described is something that we cannot achieve ourselves, but is given to us when we come into this relationship which encompasses us with this transcendent relationship with God. It's like this relationship with someone so much bigger than ourselves that we're filled with joy. So some people find transcendent joy in, say, going to a concert, say, like going to a Coldplay concert, right? You feel this transcendent joy, right? You feel this joy of feeling something greater outside of yourself. Or you feel this transcendent joy when you are at the beach and you see this wonderful sunset, right? This marvelous nature. But those things are so fleeting. The joy that's being spoken of here is the transcendent joy of actually being with God and Jesus, which is so much outside of ourselves, and that depth of relationship. And so for ourselves, I want to challenge you and ask you, what is the happiest day of your life? Hey, think to yourself, what is the happiest day that you've ever had in your whole life? Now, if you could bottle that feeling, that would be great, right? You could bottle it and you could feel like that every day. But I think what this passage is saying is that joy of completeness, that fullness of joy, far surpasses any happiest day that you've ever had in your whole life. That is the joy that is being described here when we live this eternal fellowship life with Jesus and God. Now, in conclusion, when we come to Christmas, there's lots of advertising, right? So Heineken, if you don't know, is probably the world's best beer, but maybe not. Now, when you look at this advertisement, what is this advertisement trying to associate with Heineken? What is the attraction or the yearning or longing that Heineken is trying to create in you as you look at this picture? There is family relationship. There is vibrant life. There is happiness and joy, right? In the same way, when you think of H&M, you know H&M, maybe they have the same advertisers because it all looks the same, right? It's almost like they transpose the pictures but just change the logos, right? So you think of H&M, you know, the clothes store. Again, what are they advertising? What are they saying? If you know, maybe if you wear H&M clothes, you will feel life and happiness and you will feel relationship. But then, you know, all these things are not true. If you drink Heineken today, I don't think it automatically means that you have a long life, wonderful relationships, and happiness, right? Again, if you wear H&M clothes, again, will you have long life, happiness, and joy? I don't think so. What we need to do is we need to listen to the testimony of the Apostle John. That who was from the beginning, the word of life, has appeared in this world. He testifies to the truth of it. He says, Jesus has come to invite us into this eternal fellowship life with the fullness of joy. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to the testimony of John. Come to Jesus this Christmas. Come to Jesus and experience what this eternal fellowship life with the fullness of joy will be like. Because this is not what the world can offer. It's not something that we can achieve ourselves, but it's only something that we can receive when we know Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And what we do now is basically we ask God to help us to understand the full impact of what He's saying in His Word. And this is the way that we actually ask for God to give us comprehension and also to really feel and take to heart what His Word is saying. So I'd like to invite you to join me as we go to God in prayer. Dear Father, as we come before You, help us to see that in these short verses, the full impact of what You've done for us in Jesus, that Your Son was from the beginning, who is the Word of life. He is both eternal and creator, maker of all things. He has appeared as a human being in this earth. John, the apostle, testifies to seeing Him, to hearing Him, to touching Him. He has come into this world so that we may enjoy the eternal fellowship life with the fullness of joy with You forever and ever. Dear Father, we pray that we will listen and hear his testimony. We will come to Jesus and we will accept this wonderful gift and the invitation that he's given us. We pray for us today that we will not listen to the false voices in the world today which promise joy, life, and relationship, but to see that they will not satisfy, they cannot satisfy, and that our longings for this life, this relationship, and this joy can only truly be met when we know Jesus and have a relationship with him, and that we enjoy trust, faith in him. We pray for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Andrew, for the sermon. We'll now take some time, actually, to reflect and digest what we've just heard, not just by ourselves, but with the people around us as well. So we're going to take about 5 minutes, is something we do every week, to discuss the discussion questions, to help us all think and reflect on what we've just heard. If you prefer, to reflect by yourself, feel free to do so as well. You can use the Bibles around you as well if you're interested to know more. So our first question is, and only question today, how can our true longings for life, relationship, and joy be met in Jesus? Let's take 5 minutes with the timer on screen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.